radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
It's all love, all love.
No sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu, no fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes, only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy, and I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.
Lentil soup is mental fruit and ginger root is good for the youth. Fresh vegetable with them Italian stew. Sweet yam fries with the green callaloo. Careful how you season and prepare your foods, cause you don't wanna lose vitamins and minerals, and that's a jewel. Life brings life, it's valuable. So I eat what comes from the ground, it's natural. Let your food be your medicine, no accelerant. Strictly herb generation, the sun, cause I got melanin and drink water. 8 glasses a day, cause that's what they say.
They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. Be healthy, y'all.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. I'm your host and facilitator, and we say the Cyberspace Sanctuary is a safe house for your mind. We haven't done a program in quite some time. We're back, and we're ready to do what we can to raise consciousness, raise awareness, and empower our people. We started off the program with a message in music entitled Eat Healthy by Dead Prez. That sets the stage for our program today. We'll be listening to the audio portions of a video that I did featuring a unique gentleman who's legally blind, but he's actively involved in the urban organic farming movement and the food co-op movement, Andrew Huggins, and we'll listen to him following these brief messages. So don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Stay tuned. Junius Ricardo Stanton here with some truly great news. The Blake Radio Network has officially released the new Rainbow Soul iPhone and Android apps worldwide. Now there's also an HTML version for all other cell phones. The apps can be accessed from www.blakeradio.com on the Rainbow Soul page or directly from the iPhone App Store or Android Market. These apps will allow you to lock in exclusively to the Rainbow Soul broadcast with the touch of a button. These acquisitions complete the development and release of all the apps for the Blake Radio Network family of channels, which includes Rainbow Soul, the All Talk channel, and Music Massage, an eclectic mix of R&B, jazz, soul, and reggae slow jams for your listening edification and entertainment. So take full advantage of this opportunity for connectivity and mobility by downloading your respective app from your source. Continue listening to the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul and Music Massage.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes, by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com. Or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul at blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's I-R-E-L-E-N-D, Place, Suite 109, Amityville, A-M-I-T-Y-V-I-L-L-E, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
Gracious, Professor Griff, you're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Part of a burgeoning movement of urban gardeners. And we're here at 47th and Westminster in West Philadelphia. And it's December the 5th. And as you can see, he's still growing. He'll tell you about some of the crops he's growing. Welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I had the pleasure of meeting you briefly at the Overbrook Environmental Center. They were having a program, and you told me that you were doing urban gardening. So how long have you been doing urban gardening?
Well, actually, I've been doing urban gardening for about approximately 3 years. This is the actual second year of my urban gardening. I have been, established as an urban gardener for practically 2. I was introduced to it as a young man through my mother, who did urban gardening at the Mill Creek Garden Center.
Okay.
46 and Brown.
All right, now, but what prompted you to get into it in the last couple of years.
What we have what prompted me into getting in the urban garden is the growing need for food and to eradicate poverty in the West Philadelphia area. Philadelphia has the highest rate of the cities in the nation of people who are hungry. Also, with that is the growing concern of the quality and quantity of the food that is being consumed in Philadelphia.
All right, now elaborate on that.
What I'd like to elaborate is on the different, the quality of food. Some foods are grown genetically modified. They are also hybrid foods, foods that with no seeds, that will have, you know, they give off nutrition, and they're more like show, they for show, but no substance. I'm not trying to say that organic food has more nutrition than hybrid foods, but it has a less chance of causing diseases and ill effects inside the human being.
Mm-hmm.
Where foods that are grown like hybrids, genetically modified organisms, which they said to this day they haven't found that they do cause anything, but if you look at other animals that are tested, such as the pig, and effects that it has on a pig's stomach, it gives you the question what effects that it has on the human being. Because food has a physiological as well as a psychological effect on people. What you put in your mouth will make up you physically and will make up your thinking. And the philosophy of the Table Spread Vegetable Garden / Food Co-op is to bring about a better quality of food that will also bring about a better nutritional value as well as a nutritional value that would enable the physiological and the brain to function in a better form. And what I mean by that is just simply this. If we eat bad food, we have bad skin. We have weak thinking. If we eat quality food, good food, we have good skin, good hair, good nails, and our mental state of mind would be better. A lot of people associate slavery with farming. And I could agree with that because if you eat
or even sharecropping too.
Yes.
Exactly. Which was slavery.
Exactly. So when you have bad foods, you can't think properly. Your mind is the first thing to go because the mind doesn't get the nutrition that it needs. Because when you put good food in the mouth, the first place to get good nutrition is the mind through osmosis. Before the body gets anything, the mind gets all the nutrition that it needs first. So this is what we like to do in this part of the city is create a nice change in our diet that will help eradicate not only just the poverty, but when people are hungry, what keeps people hungry is having food that doesn't have proper nutrition.
Right.
When you get the proper food, the body gets the proper food, the proper nutrition, then it will not be as hungry or crave for food as much.
The other thing too is that, and keeping in line with what you just said, we're energetic beings, so we need to, the energy, our energy levels go up and down during the day, but if we don't get the proper nutrition, our energy level goes down and we're not functioning as at a higher level, which gets back to your idea about the mind, as we should be. And what that's one of the problems that's plaguing our community is this lack of vitality.
And that's correct. Because, you know, it affects our children. They can't think properly when they go into schools. When they sit down and go in and get educated because of the vitality of the food that they eat. Processed foods, not wholesome and good foods. Again, weak foods, weak thinking. Weak foods, weak bodies. So if we want to have strong bodies and strong minds, it depends on the quality and the quantity of food that we eat.
All right, now one of the things we talked earlier before we started the program, you were talking about, again, the vitality, but you also talked about the cost and how these local gardens cut down on the cost of food through transportation and things like that. So elaborate on that. How important is that?
Well, what's real important is again, urban farming cuts down on the cost of transportation costs. Transportation costs makes the cost of food go up. And a lot of people associate that also with the cost of salaries that they pay people in supermarkets and other stores. But by growing our own, we can empower ourselves by saving money. You know, by growing our own, and this way we can control the quality of food that we do eat. Now, again, with the transportation, you know, also hurts the quality of the air that we breathe. But in growing our own, it's less of a transportation dioxides or chemicals
right.
that are in the air. So it also helps each neighborhood to empower themselves by growing their own food. They could save more money than running to the supermarket and supporting the supermarket. It empowers the community in a lot of ways economically. It empowers our community because we could create our own jobs. We could produce our own products, such as, for instance, this year we had over 57 tomato plants, three or four different varieties, where we can make our own tomato sauces, our own tomato paste, our own ketchup, and this will empower our community. When we go to supermarkets, all we see is other people's products, not any of from our own ethnicity. We have sections in supermarkets for kosher. We have sections in supermarkets for Chinese, Korean, Spanish, but there's none in the supermarket for Afro-Americans, a product. There may be one, Amos Famous made cookies.
Well, he doesn't own that anymore. That's a corporation bought that.
Yes.
And even Glory. I mean, I don't know if Glory's still a black-owned company.
That's a good question. So by having an urban garden, we can create from dust to industry. You know, this is the dust. The industry is when we're able to put our product inside of our own stores and supermarkets that will carry our product, that will in turn enrich our neighborhoods. We can get rid of the bleak, you know, empty vacant lots, vacant properties, abandoned properties. This is another way of how through the land, everything is empowered through the land. Our politics, our social, our economics, our political. All this comes from land. There's nothing new. But urban farms is one of the ways of how we can empower the community. And it's something that all of us have in common. Community just simply means things that we have in common that we can unite with.
Now, table spread is a food co-op. In addition to promoting urban gardening, you also have food co-ops.
Yes.
Co-ops are not a new idea. It's just, in my view, it's something that's been kept suppressed so that the bigger businesses can make most of the money. So tell us how table spread works. In addition to growing the produce, then you have co-ops. So how does that work?
Well, actually, again, let's start back with the word community, things that we have in common. As a community, you have if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a prefix or suffix, the word CO. It's the same as cooperative and co-op. What we strive to do in the vegetable garden, and again, is to start there to get people interested in growing their own so that way we can educate people to see the importance of growing their own. Let's start, again, back with the community. And back with the community garden is a way of educating our youth, educating the elderly, to show them where food comes from.
get us to have a better
knowledge of ourselves.
And the reason I'm laughing, and I don't mean I'm interrupting. The reason I'm laughing is because a lot of our children have no clue
where food comes from. Yes, and see, with this here, you know, years ago there was a thing called cottage gardens. England, but even before then, there was a thing where gardens was intended to enlighten the human mind. But this French activist named Monet came about, and started this thing with landscapes. And all you people see now is they just want to have landscapes. It doesn't, and it does not enlighten the people's mind. In other words, when people look at the landscape, all they think about is romance.
Grass and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at a cottage garden that enlightens the people's mind, they want to see the tree, how the tree grows these fruits, the children we're talking about, how the vegetables are growing. So this is the philosophy of the table spread. Through the vegetable garden, we start the co-op where people can collectively come together and support it. As right now, all we have is about 4,000 square footage of a three-quarter of an acre of a land that are developed.
That's with food spread or outside of that organization?
This is just the organization
itself. Okay. Mm.
We want people to come and be interested in it, so we collectively could buy the products that where we can expand from 4,000 square footage to three quarters of an acre and develop the whole land where the whole community can benefit. In other words, if you go to the store and buy one loaf of bread, each of us buy one loaf of bread, it costs us $3, or maybe sometimes $2.50. But collectively, if we go to a bakery and buy a case of bread, that case of bread may cost us $1.50 a loaf. And this is the concept we are trying to get established here in the Table Spread Vegetable Garden and Co-op. We chose the name as it was given to us by a young lady who said we should name the co-op the Table Spread, because everybody will be able to identify with it, the Christians, the Catholics, the Muslims, the Buddhists, because the Table Spread is associated with Jesus, the Last Supper, and the Muslims with the fifth sword of the Quran, Al-Madiya. But this is a good way of letting everybody know that we want everybody to be involved, not just one ethnicity, but everybody that lives in the community.
Now, how do you go about educating? Because just listening to you, what your goals and objectives are, it's obvious to me that education is a process. People need to know about urban gardening, the benefits of an urban garden. A couple of years ago, I had participated in an organic program over in Jersey where I lived in Lawnside, and it was really relaxing. You know, just, and I can remember my mother had a garden. Some of our relatives worked for Corson's, the line people out in Plymouth Meeting, and they let some of their employees use some of the land for gardening. So we went out there. When I was a kid, I hated it. I mean, I hated going out there weeding and all that kind of stuff. But being involved with the community garden in Lawnside was really invigorating, and it taught me the value of food. And then I could eat what we produce. So, say all that to say, what type of education are you putting out to the community to encourage them to become involved?
Again, one of the ways of trying to get people involved is by word of mouth. And the education is basically is how we could steal a little quote from a prophet named Jesus who said, know yourself and the truth will set you free. For me, that's a paraphrase that says, get the knowledge of yourself and that knowledge of yourself will set you free. Well, in the Bible, as well as other scriptures, it's just my understanding that a lot of those paraphrases in the Bible, such as leaves, trees, water, all those things come from nature. So in order to get a better understanding of yourself and the language that those people who wrote the Bible and the Holy Quran in, we have to go to the source. And the biggest source is your vegetable garden or nature itself. Like in the north, you mentioned something about weeds. And if you turn around, you'll see that even in the garden, the vegetable, the technology in the gardens have changed. Just like phone booths are no longer on the corner, they're cell phones.
Right.
So in the garden, what stops the weeding process is what you call a weed block.
Right.
So 80% of the hard work of the farming has been weeding. You know, weeds are something that, you know, they don't know what weeds are. But the, in other cultures, such as vegans, a lot of weeds are edible.
Right, and a lot of them are medicinal.
Yes, and a lot of weeds, such as they used to call collard greens weeds.
Mm-hmm.
But now they know better because technology, with knowledge, changes obstacles in our path or help us grow, evolve, and change. So what we do here at the Food Co-op, we try to educate people about weed blocks. You know, 80% of the hard work, again, is eliminated through the weed block. You don't have to weed no more. You just cut a hole in your weed block, plant your flower, boop, up comes your vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it rains, you don't have to come down and pull the weeds. So a good source of education is to understand that human beings are the same as plants. That cauliflower plant that you see there has
Share with us, right here to your right is cauliflower?
No, to the left.
Okay.
To the left. To the left is the collard greens.
Right.
I'm sorry, my apologies. To the left is the collard greens. And
okay.
Then the collard greens have a chlorophyll that is different than a lot of other plants out there. And that chlorophyll enables that collard green to grow even through the coldest of winters. It will grow through 4 to 5 foot of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's basically a hardy plant then.
Yes. Oh. And inside the human being, they say our blood is actually blue or greenish blue. And it's not red. That the science changes it.
When it hits the sunlight and
the sunlight
air.
The air, yeah, the yeah. oxidation yeah. changes the color of the blood. Well, and so when we could see that we had the same identification as plants is a way of getting the knowledge of ourselves. Again, the plant itself, the land itself, you know, if we don't weed our minds, we have bad thoughts. If we don't weed the soil, the block, the weed block, stops us, the bad weeds from coming in, we can get a good product.
Now, while I'm looking at that, is this black material, that's weed block too?
Yes, that's weed block.
Okay, so obviously they're different. This is black. This is almost like transparent. You almost can see through it.
You can see through it, right. So, and that's a frost protector. That one is a frost protector.
Okay.
Now, again, and you talked about the education. Inside the human being, you know, there's two sections. One side of us is clean blood, where our heart is at. The left side of us is where our processor is at, which we call the liver. It processes all the dirty blood, and not one iota of dirty blood comes over into the clean side of your body. It's the same with plants. The plant has a manufacturing process where one side of the plant is clean, and the other side filters all the stuff, there's impurities out of it. It's the same. So when we get to understand that soil, plants are the same as us, that we come from the soil. As a matter of fact, the black sticky stuff is called silt. It has the DNA, or when you, his DNA is the same as ours, 0.0025.
And that's the real rich soil, too.
Yes. Yeah. It's 0.0025, so when we go in the lab and we look at the cell of that soil, we break that soil down, It is broke down to 0.0025, the same as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were to get a better understanding of ourselves, not saying we don't understand ourselves, but from the earth is great knowledge that we can learn more about ourselves and how we function, because plants also eat the same way we do. What feeds the plants is fungus and bacteria. And through the roots, it changes the fungus and bacteria into carbohydrates. Isn't that the same way we do? We break the food down in our mother's, and even in our mother's womb.
Right.
We don't eat the actual plant. We eat the liquid of the plant. The fiber is discarded. We only eat liquid. Even now, when we eat a collard green or we eat a kale, it's not digested that way. It's broken down to a liquid. And that's what we digest, is the liquid, not the fiber. So We're just like the plants in every sense of the word.
All right, well, speaking of plant, is all this a working garden all the way down?
Yes. Now, what you see, if you look at the frost cover, the stuff that's not black, it's
right,
like a grayish, those are collard greens and kale.
Okay.
And then,
so they're in their early stages.
They're in the early stages, and you can see they are growing.
Okay, how old are they?
They are approximately, they were planted in the soil around, if I'm not mistaken, about the first week of November.
Mm-hmm.
First or second week of November.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, they got leaves. They're budding.
Right.
They're not mature yet, where they are on the same stage with these collard greens and this kale. But I would say about the end of December, the first week of January, they will be.
Now down further with the frost protector, down all the way down there, what's that?
Those are the same plants.
They're younger?
Yes, they are collard greens and kale. And the reason why, again, in the wintertime, one of the main foods of our ethnicity, Afro-American, is collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
We love to have collard greens around New Year's, especially in the month of September, of February, which is Black History Month. You know, a lot of our celebrations are surrounded with collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, one of the things, a good education that we have to remember, when our grandfathers and foremothers was in slavery, one of the things that kept us alive has been the nutritional value of the foods that we ate. And this particular society used to wonder why. They used to give us nicknames as, look at them watermelon-eating people. Look at those jam-eating people.
Yeah.
Well, what they didn't know at that particular time is that watermelons is the fruit that has the most highly vitamins and minerals than any other fruit out there.
Yeah, antioxidant properties, all of that. Yeah.
Now, jams had, we known as sweet potatoes. This is why it's still a part of our tradition. Has more vitamins and minerals than any other vegetable at that time. Ground vegetable, we talk about. Stuff that grows underneath the soil. So, nutritionally, our forefathers and foremothers were being taken care of by God.
Right.
You know, the slave master thought he was hurting us.
Mm-hmm.
But, in essence, we survived because of the quality of food that we ate. Even though a lot of it may have been a little chemically sprayed.
Well, it was probably less chemically, had less chemical intervention then than it does now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because now, a lot of these chemicals, they developed in laboratories just to keep the bugs off.
Yeah.
But one of the things about organic garden, there's organic ways of keeping bugs off your plant, such as flowers. When you plant, well, you can't see flowers now, but I have perennials all around here of a flower that would attract the good bugs that would eat the bad
bugs.
Right,
right. So you attracted the ladybugs and things like that and repulsed the other ones.
Yes, to repel the other ones.
Mm.
Now, another thing, one of the things which you can't do today, see, plants have a way of talking to you. One of the ways the plants talk to you is through aromatherapy. This is why it's so important for us. Now, I'm legally blind to learn how to develop our five senses and our other five conscious senses. We got five physical senses and five conscious senses. Now, if it was the summertime and you came in my garden, one of the smells that you would have smelled would be the scent of the collard green. The collard green gives off a wonderful aroma. Also tomatoes, also herbs, basil, rosemary, St. John's wort.
Right.
They give off a wonderful aroma, and you'll be able to tell where you're at by your nose, your intuition. That's what nose represents. A lot of women know what I'm talking about, and so do men. A lot of women know that because of their children. When their children are sick, they could be in the bed, dad sleeping, but when that baby starts to cough, boom, she jumps up and goes running that room.
Right,
you say, baby,
right.
What you getting up for? Because that's an intuition. That is one of your conscious senses. But when we come in the garden and organically, the aroma of each of those plants also attracts insects, bad insects as well as good. So one of the things in organic ways of keeping bad insects away is by masking the smell where they can't smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that, their sense of smell is 1,000 times greater than a human being.
Right. Now, speaking of insects, what about the animals, the squirrels, and do you attract rabbits?
Well,
and you know, because that's what, because we lived in the suburbs, so that's what pretty much hit our garden.
Okay, now one of the things that are, you know, let's take before I talk about the rest of the rodents. Let me finish saying one of the things that helps the insects. What we do in organic farming, being that, you know, again, collard greens have a smell that attracts insects. What I do is mask the smell by using a formula where it is by using water, a biodegradable soap, and a oil, a vegetable oil or olive oil, 1 teaspoon of vegetable oil, 1 teaspoon of biodegradable soap, a dishwashing soap, not a detergent soap, mm-hmm. something that's real mild, or a Cascade soap, and mix it in 32 ounces of water, and you spray it on the collard greens. It doesn't give a smell.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt the plant. You spray it on it, insects can't smell it. Now, when you talked about cats, you talked about squirrels. Well, cats primarily come in gardens because they want mice, because field mice, hiding in vegetable gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people don't like cats in gardens because they do their business.
The urine, yeah.
Mm, on yeah, the garden. Mm. But this weed block stops cats from doing their business because cats like to feel soil underneath their paws.
Anyway.
Mm, mm. Now, squirrels is a different thing. They also like to feel soil up under them before they do their business.
Mm-hmm.
But they still will come in to eat your tomatoes. They will eat corn. And what it is that attracts them is the same thing that attracts human beings. In nature and in this society that we live in, if you go to McDonald's, you go to Burger King's, you go to any fast food place, what do you see as far as colors are concerned? You'll see reds, yellows,
right,
and greens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those colors attract human beings. They incite hunger inside the human being. Well, they do the same with some animals, and especially squirrels. When a squirrel sees a red tomato, he's coming after it. He won't mess with a green one.
Mm-hmm.
But a red
mm-hmm.
one, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do to keep squirrels away, there's several things. You can use a peppermint oil. You can use a peppermint oil, or you can use cayenne pepper or black
mm-hmm.
pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in little muslin bags, and to keep rodents away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the same thing with raccoons and possums. You know, those are some of the things that naturally that you could use to keep them out of your garden.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you have kale, you mentioned cauliflower.
No cauliflower, just kale and collard greens.
All right, now you also have another section over on the other side of the field. What's over there?
Well, over there, that particular area just has, there's a little bit of experiment that's going on, and I'm just studying that. What's going on over there, I have some kale, and I have planted some broccoli back in September. And right now, the end of September, the early part of October, I planted some broccoli. It didn't take place. It didn't grow. But now I'm looking at it. You'll see the leaves. I don't think it'll take the full form because of the temperature that is outside.
Okay.
But the kale will still grow.
Okay. All right. So now what, when you harvest this, where does it go?
Well, what I harvest for the past 2 years, what I have done is I gave a lot of the stuff that I harvest away to the community.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young man that lives across the street that has been a recipient, and there's some people around the community that have been recipient,
okay.
as well as people inside of the Philadelphia Masjid who has been recipient.
Are you talking about this building right here?
Yes, that's
okay.
correct.
Okay.
And then some of it I have sold, and some of it I've been establishing contracts with other organizations to to buy what we grow.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, what we're trying to establish here is to feed the hunger, the hungry people. We are trying to work out a deal with the people inside the building to feed the hungry people.
So there are programs here running out of the masjid and the churches and some of the organizations that actually use your produce to feed the...
Well, as of this year, no, not as of yet. But we're working something with the masjid. We would like to work with the Christian Stronghold Community Church and other organizations in this community to feed the homeless. Now, we had food that we donated, again, to people, individuals, as well as individuals inside the building. But we had objectives this year where we grew a lot of, we were trying to grow a lot of spaghetti squash,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't grow as we thought. We only had about maybe 30 spaghetti squash. We wanted to introduce this to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because spaghetti is one of the simplest ways of eating, and it has spaghetti squash I'm talking about, and it has numerous of benefits when it's grown from the earth instead of binding in the box.
Mm-hmm.
The nutritional value of spaghetti, a spaghetti squash, is off the hook, and it's much better than the spaghetti that you get in the box.
Mm-hmm.
This is not genetically modified. The spaghetti that you buy in boxes is genetically modified, and it's amazing. They got the idea of spaghetti from the growth of the spaghetti squash. You know, this is how they came up with spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese,
right?
And then Marco Polo stole it from the Chinese.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole thing is, the idea came from nature itself, from spaghetti squash.
Now this is your fall and winter crop. So during the spring and summer, what did you grow?
Spring and summer, we grew corn. We
expanded. Are you? How big was your corn?
Well, we had about 50 plants.
Mm.
And what happened, we went to see, again, that was a test field. We had about 50 corn plants. And what we learned from that then was, again, a lesson. It's only... So far, in this particular garden, there was only about 2 to 3 of us out here growing. 80-90% of the time, I was in this garden by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But from observing, what I learned is that the squirrel attacked my corn. I didn't get a chance to take one ear of corn off to give it to anybody because the squirrels ate the corn. But I myself failed to do what was proper to keep the squirrels away by putting cayenne pepper or black pepper around, because I was cultivating the rest of the garden. In the spring and summertime, I had butternut squash, zucchini squash, I had tomatoes. And if you know anything about tomatoes, brother, they're working. Especially if you buy yourself.
Yeah.
They were working. Tomato plants were working. I had I grew broccoli this summer. I also had collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
Collard greens, which I gave to some families, willingly gave to some families, that fed a couple of families.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only about 30 plants of collard greens in the summer that I grew. But I had collard greens, tomato plants, watermelons, which was an
experience. Oh, yeah?
Yes.
How did the watermelons turn out?
Watermelons, we got one watermelon from the patch. Again, this was something new for me. I never grew watermelons before. But next year, I have a better idea of how to really cultivate watermelons for the community. One of the things, I had originally started out with about 150 watermelon plants. And a guy who cut the grass came in here, I didn't know what he was seeing, thought they was weeds and destroyed them. So by the time I came back to replant them,
it was too late.
It was too late,
right.
But I did get one watermelon from him, which I gave to the imam who allowed me to come back into the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to him.
Now I see your, because I know what they are, because that's what we used. Those big barrels. That's where that's where you stored your water.
Yes.
And so how did that work out?
Well, that worked out very well because
Are you collecting? Were you pumping the water in from the sewer? I mean, not the sewer, but the water lines, or was it rainwater?
Well, it was rainwater, and plus I had two ways of getting water. Well, actually three. What is happening right now is a little mist now. We got it from God. We got the water from creation.
Right.
Also, we also saved it in rain barrels in which we pump out and pumped into the garden. Also, I had a non-hydrant permit that the city allows community gardens to use.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that meant that you could either tap into the fire hydrant?
Yes, also.
Okay.
But with that, you had to have, the city requires you to have certain
acreage or something like that.
Certain equipment,
mm-hmm,
in order to be issued a permit. One which you don't have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some devices that you hook into the water hydrant itself, and then you can hook your hose
to
it.
Right.
But they gave me that permit, and they and I don't have to pay anything for it. And they do this for all the community gardens,
mm-hmm,
if they meet their standards.
Right.
They meet the standards. They give you a I forgot what it's called. Non-fee permit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's called.
Now, we had compost. We put up some money and bought all the people that had rented the land for our garden. We had compost. So you doing your own compost? Are you bringing in organic fertilizer? How are you doing that?
Well, there's a couple of things that we have done and that we're still expanding on. It's my intention, and I would say just mine, because at this present time, what I would like to do is to bring in a mushroom compost that this place called Primex developed, and to spread over this entire acreage of land in here.
How much is of this is yours that you've been given permission?
Well, the imam in the Philadelphia Mass did told me I could develop every single acre,
mm-hmm,
but I will, it has to have structure, and I'm in the process of giving this thing structure now and presenting it to the community. Right now, the land he let me use for free, but I would like to give residuals back to the people who own this, which is the community of this particular mass tent.
Mm-hmm.
So my intentions, as far as that is concerned, is to develop the land with compost, because practically everything grows in compost. It doesn't have to be 100% soil. It could be 100% compost and it will grow. We had a young lady in here this year who has her own compost business, who was doing the composting.
Mm-hmm. Were those the people that were at the environmental center? They were showing you how to do your own compost bins?
No, they weren't the people. It was another young lady who belongs to another organization called the Supreme Compost.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, what we're doing and what we like to do, because we are a big fan of compost, period. Compost and tea, and especially compost tea, because it wards off.
What's that?
Compost tea is where you take compost and you put it in a muslin bag or a cheesecloth, and you dip it in the water, and it makes a tea. It turns the water into a brown or a dark brown color.
Mm-hmm.
With compost tea, it helps fight off pathogens, and it helps fight off bad insects, and it also strengthens the plant.
Mm-hmm. So it's a form of fungus. Nutrient.
Right.
Right.
To
okay.
fight off fungus. Right. Now, with rainwater and the compost tea, really, I did some experiments with some of the collard greens, the summer collard greens that I had.
Mm-hmm.
A young lady called Dr. Elaine Ingram, who is the chief scientist for Rodale Institute, gave me this formula. And she told me, she suggested to me to try to grow things in 100% compost and see what the effects are.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen of those summer collard greens that I grew, the leaves were much bigger, much healthier.
So darker in color.
Yes,
yeah.
More enriched.
Yeah.
And I told her I was going to get back with her and let her know. And if she sees your program, I hope she forgives me because I haven't told her yet.
All right, now, we're almost out of time. Your concern because as we speak, the Philadelphia City Council is preparing to either vote on or move to the next session a bill that will encourage community gardens. So what's your take on that?
My take on that is it has its pros and its cons. It's a couple of organizations, but I think it started with the Women's League. I think they started back last year sometime in April of last year, 2012. The Women's League presented a program, presented a program to the communities of all Philadelphians about what the city's plan was to do with the vacant lots and vacant buildings. At that particular time, it was pretty well attended by numerous of people. But my concern at that particular time, and it still is a concern of mine now, is the Afro-Americans in Philadelphia. Now, there's another organization called that started up, and they called it Land Bank. What they're trying to get an easier way for urban gardeners and all other organizations, businessmen, to try to acquire these properties through an easier term.
Red tape. And,
yes.
Yeah, right.
But my concern has been that of the communities that are in poverty, such as the West Philadelphia area and other certain sections of Philadelphia, where these people don't have the amount of money, such as
right.
big organizations,
right.
to
right.
come in and acquire these property
right.
to enrich their community. I would love to see the churches, the black clergymen, all churches, all temples, all masjids, all mosques get together, all block committee people to get together and to start acquiring some of this property. The city still has a program called a dollar program, which still is in existence, which means
Will this come under that?
Yes, this will still come under that.
Mm-hmm.
And how will come under that is if the person, which was brought up by Guy Hibble, at the Women's League meeting back in April of 2012, Guy Hibble let people know that the dollar program still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And how it exists better for our community is if a whole...
Getting back to the issue with the land bank, you were talking about the pros and cons. You talked about the pros in terms of little people being able to get...
Big business be able to get.
Yeah, but that's my concern because they will have the capital,
yes.
whereas the community groups won't.
Yeah, well, what we can do as communities, a good example of this is what the people did in Fishtown. When the casinos went down there to try to buy the land, they found out that the community there had put the land in community land trust titles. That simply means that the community land trust title was a bunch of individuals in that neighborhood. Black people, many of black people got together and bought that land. So that way, when the casino wanted to develop that, the people that wanted to develop the casino there, those people in that community in Fishtown got the residuals from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so what type of residuals do they get?
They're getting money. Every 3 months, they're getting money from the casino,
mm-hmm.
and which will help them to develop their community in a manner where they see that will help benefit
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
If it helps mm-hmm. them to keep their property taxes down or help pay their property taxes, this
now is... Now that money's going into a CDC?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Where the community owns it.
Mm-hmm.
Where the community, the head of that community, makes sure that those residuals get distributed properly to the people in
mm-hmm.
that community. Now, what we can do in our communities to empower our communities is every block committee person needs to get or have a meeting with other block committee
but
people.
That takes organization, and that's
yes.
one of the things, organization and unity, that's one of the main things we're lacking as a people.
Yes,
you know?
Which is true. And there are some organizations in Philadelphia, black committee people or black block committee people who are very organized. They will have to come in and help.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the churches, along with the masjids, along with the mosques, along with the temples, come in and help organize the committees or the black committee people to do what is necessary to enrich and empower their community. Again, they could go just put, again, I think we talked about earlier, about the property owner that is next door to a vacant lot or a vacant building. The city has the dollar program in which they can go down and buy that property. The property owner, if he's next door to a vacant property or a property that the city owns, a vacant building, they could buy it for a dollar. Put it in a community land trust title and let the block people on that block develop that property. And in turn, that would give that, if it's a abandoned building, turn that abandoned building into a rental house where everybody on that block could get residuals from that rental property.
Yeah, I was looking. Well, you told me about it, and I was looking up, did some research on it. So I think St. Louis, Cleveland, a lot of smaller cities are doing it. And
yes.
But if this passes, according to the information I saw, this will be the largest city with the largest land bank legislation, and it will impact a lot more people. So we'll have to wait and see. But Table Spread is a local organization. It has a website. Tell us the URL for the website.
Well, the website is the Table Spread is one word. The Table Spread is one word. org.net. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to strive for excellence and empower the community through urban garden and urban farming as well as co-op. We would like to. And one of the biggest things you mentioned earlier about organization skills, we have the lack of organization. We know what Marxism has done. We know what OIC has done. All those things came to pass because it was basically individually owned. We would like to start a new bannerism where all of us could own a piece of the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making one person rich, make the community rich.
Right.
This concept is something that is new, or I could say
it's new. Well, it's new. That's our people, African people, always did that.
Yeah.
You know.
But we need to start, you know, the American dream can also be an American nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
If we just keep promoting isms and and not promoting the actual community. Again, when we look at those simpler terms, I was talking to Brother Lukeman, who's Kenny Gamble. He said to me, Andrew, I don't need no more friends. I got enough friends. And I thought about it. I said, I understand why he don't want no more friends, because in the word friend, the last three letters of friends is E-N-D. A friend with N. But I want to be the brother's brother. And the thing with brother, you know, the last four letters of brother, T-H-E-R. I want to be there for him.
Mm.
Be there for the community. This concept of being collective, of being each other's brother, or being each other's sisters, will always be around instead of being a friend.
Right.
A friend will end.
Right.
But being a brother to a brother, you'll always be there for that individual and that community. And this is the ideology that we need to embrace. And when we organize things, instead of organizing, hypothetically speaking, the Table Spread. If we were to organize all community gardens under the banner of the Table Spread, we could get a lot more done.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having, let's say, this community garden across the street, what we call their garden. Collectively is where our strength is at.
Right.
Individually,
right,
we're weak. But collectively, or they say, strength is in numbers. The strength is in the herd. If we could unite under one banner, it doesn't matter if those people up in North Philly, if they want to, you know, under that one banner, if they want to do something else with their residuals, great. But long as when we come together for the unity of food, our purchasing power for buying nurseries, buying plants,
mm-hmm,
distribution of food,
yeah, mm-hmm,
would be greater.
You have a phone number?
Yes, I have a phone number. The phone number is...
Now, for a central phone for the Table Spread, or should it just come to you?
Right now, the central phone for the Table Spread is 215-475-6022.
Slow down.
215-475-6032.
All right, now, some of our viewers and listeners might want to get some information on how to replicate what you're doing where they are. So can they call you, or can they get that information on your website?
They could call me, and actually the website would just give information about the Table Square Co-op, the ideology of the co-op. But for farming, organic farming, I could come to them, hold classes, and teach them about organic farming. I am a certified organic farmer. I've been certified by the Northeastern Organic Farmer Association. I could come and teach them at their organization, or at their churches, or at the schools about organic garden, and we can elaborate on organic garden. I'm a student of organic garden, and that simply means I don't know it all. But what I do know, I'm willing to share, and we can empower each other with it. What they have can help me, and by being a student and not saying I'm a teacher, I can learn from them and they can learn from me.
Okay. As we close out, you have any words of advice for people who have thought about getting into urban gardening but have been reticent and said, well, I don't want to do it by myself. I don't want to be like you, just out here with just all by myself. Any words of encouragement for them?
Well, my encouragement word would be this. You know, when we look at our community, everything comes from the land. Economics, politics, social, and education. Through urban garden, we can help empower our communities, stop the drug pushers, stop the bleed, eradicate poverty, educate our children and let them know where the food actually comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And by them getting involved and seeing where food comes from, it will give them a better knowledge of themselves.
Okay. Give us, as we close, give us your URL again and the phone number. Say it slowly, so because you know people might have to run to get a pencil or something.
Again, it's the tablespread.org and .net. Phone number 215-475-6032. We are open to all community gardens, and we would love to start a Black Farmers Association here in Philadelphia, where all the Black farmers can get together and empower our communities.
Okay, brother. Thank you very much. Thanks
Thank
for taking the time
for
out.
Having me.
For more information on The Table Spread, go to their website, www.thetablespread.org or www.thetablespread.net. And that about concludes our program for today. Thank you for logging on, and thank you for your participation. Until next time, this is Junius Ricardo Stanton reminding you, free your mind, the rest will follow.
Cyberspace is the place that no army with artillery invades, where no military...
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.